different passages. And I'm not going to ask you to put your finger here, keep it there, and keep it there. I hate that. I don't have so many fingers sometimes. But turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is going to be the main passage we're looking at this morning. But the other passages are going to help clarify and justify what I'm going to be preaching on. Galatians chapter 4, let's read verses. Ephesians, what did I say?
Galatians.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. I thought maybe you just misheard. All right. All right. I'm not going to follow a multitude to do evil, so that's why I'm checking. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. Let's read these verses together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Then, okay, I missed that one. Let's go on. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Wow. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Say, preacher, off to a rough start. That's all right. We'll get there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read this verse together. As newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Then look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's read this verse together. All together. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you, Father, for these verses that we have read moments ago. I pray, Father, that I would pull out a truth out of here. I pray we'd have ears to hear. I pray, Father, we would have the desire to grow as we are instructed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in those verses that we read out of Ephesians moments ago, God is saying that he gave some people to help us grow spiritually. They are, in all actuality, God's gift to the church. And while all of these offices existed in the early church, those of evangelists and pastors and teachers are still with us today. The pastor is also supposed to be a teacher. He is a gift of God to the local New Testament church. Now, perhaps you believe that when I became your pastor here, that I was a white elephant gift. But regardless, God gave me to you for a purpose. It says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that word perfecting means to be mature, that we henceforth be no more children. And this is accomplished, according to verse 15, by speaking the truth in love. Now, you cannot read the verses we read as our text verses and cannot possibly misunderstand that God wants us to grow spiritually. God in these verses is saying a pastor will help to perfect the saints or give us what we need to mature us in the faith. He is to build up. He is to edify you spiritually so you do not remain infants when it comes to the things of God. If the pastor is to help perfect believers, to build them up and see to it that they grow, he will do so by speaking the truth in love. That's my job. I must preach and I must teach the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Or the saints or people here will not become mature in Jesus Christ and grow in the faith. Biblical truth is necessary if we are to be built up spiritually. Now, if I said some of you need to grow up, you might be offended. But isn't that what we're all supposed to be doing? All of us are to desire the Word of God like a baby desires milk to grow. What would happen if we grew no taller physically than we are spiritually? Would we be dwarves? Would we even be able to climb up and take a seat in the pew? Now, how some have commented to me over the years just how much they have grown since coming to this church. One told me, I read more Bible in the past year, and I find it exciting. One guy told me, I learned more Bible here than any other church I've ever been to. Well, that's what ought to be happening in every church. Every church ought to open up the Word of God, and the preacher that stands behind the pulpit ought to declare the whole counsel of God. I've often said to new converts, if you would come to every service of Faith Baptist Church for 1 year, you will be surprised just how much Bible you will learn. I know that many churches focus on numerical growth, and they do everything and anything to increase their attendance. They'll drop biblical standards. They'll bring in worldly music, use some non-inspired version of the so-called Bible. They won't denounce any sin. They have little, if any, sound doctrine. And they spew forth feel-good stories. And like the church in Sardis, in Revelation chapter 3, they have a name that thou livest and are dead. My point is, everything that is growing is not necessarily alive and spiritual. You know, a while back, I was driving south on Powers near Union Boulevard, and off to my left in the median, there was a dead deer. That deer had been struck by a car, went into the median, and it died. Now, it was a medium-sized doe. Well, a few days later, I was driving down that same stretch of road, and I looked at that deer. Now, it seemed to double in size. And it looked like it was about to give birth to 12 fawns. Folks, it was dead. But it had swollen up, and it was full of corruption and rot. My point is, not everything that is bigger is better. And not everything that is growing has life. The pastor is the focus on the spiritual growth of the church, and it's the Lord's responsibility to add the church as he sees fit. He said, I will build what? My church. Now, there are two reasons why believers in church are not growing spiritually. It could very well be it's their own fault. You see, it could be that they just don't like what's being served. You know, it's hard to feed people that won't open their mouth. Number two, maybe what's being served in certain churches isn't nutritional. How many here had parents who measured your growth or you measured your child's growth? How many of them? Okay, there's some, plenty of them. All right. Now, maybe you stood at the door frame and your mom would take a pencil and mark your height and perhaps even put a date by it. She would tell you to stand straight up and you would do all you could to get a little taller. And she would be so excited every time you would grow even a little bit. Well, as parents, it's a wonderful thing to see our children grow and develop. Now, I got a feeling that God has the same kind of excitement when it comes to his children's spiritual growth. He longs for us to grow, and he wants us to develop into mature believers. He doesn't want for us to remain babies. He wants us to stop crawling around, get out of the nursery, get up on our feet, and have a close walk with him. What I, as a pastor, long for is to see a group of people who, when you stand up and measure yourself every 3 months, you realize that you have grown. And not only that you have grown, but you're looking forward to more growth. You are wanting to learn more, put more truth into practice than you did the previous months. Be more faithful, more fruitful, and go farther on for the Lord than you ever did. And so many of us are just not concerned about growth. We're content with the little bit of spirituality that we have. We have all that we desire and not any more. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be changed. For we believe in that hymn, I shall not be moved. But the Bible does say, grow in what? Grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, is that a command? Or is it simply a suggestion? Now, is it to be obeyed? Are we content disobeying it? Now, if we are to grow into mature believers, we need to realize our need to grow. Now, how many here are just like Jesus? Raise your hand. Oh, nobody. Now, the Christian who is maturing in the faith is one who has a sense of their own failures and is minded to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They don't give up. They don't give out. They don't give in. But yet they go on to perfection. New Christians need to grow. Older Christians need to grow. The preacher needs to grow. And we are to all grow all the way till we get to heaven or Jesus comes in the air for us. Let me say to everyone here, you're not a finished product. You are not all you can be as a Christian. For there are always new heights to climb, new victories to be won, and new truth to be applied. Realize you need to grow. And then be willing to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now you should have a desire to grow and not be chided into it. You know, I remember when I first got saved. How many remember those days? All right. You know, I was saved all of a month. And someone called me a spiritual zero. Now, that was encouraging. No, it wasn't. But you know what it did? You know, and I was already reading the Bible an hour a day by that time. But I was like, you know what? I may be a spiritual zero, but I'm not always going to be this way. I said, you know, I knew no Bible when I got saved, none whatsoever. I didn't know the simple Bible stories. But I thought to myself, you know what? Give me some time. And you know what? I'm going to grow. I don't want to be a babe forever. I don't want to be immature. I want to grow in the likeness of my Savior, Jesus Christ. You know when a baby wants to be fed and they have a desire for milk? It's obvious to everyone who's in hearing distance. They want milk so they can grow. Milk here is compared to the Word of God. And if one has a desire to grow, they'll get themselves into the book that God wrote. They will hunger for it more than money, more than things, more than pleasure itself. They will go to church where it is preached, where it is taught. And they will come in with ears ready to hear and open to truth and wills that are ready to obey what has been proclaimed. You can grow if you have the desire to do so. Now, we all heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, right? But have you heard this one? You can lead a believer to grow spiritually, but you can't make them grow. It doesn't matter if you are a believer who is young, who is old, who is new to the faith, or have been saved for years. You are to have a desire to learn and grow because there's plenty of room for growth. We all should be asking ourselves, do I truly want to grow? Do I want to grow in my biblical knowledge? Do I want to grow in my faithfulness? Do I want to grow in holiness? Do I want to grow in being the Christian spouse I should be? Are the parents I need to be to my children? Do I want to grow in my service for the Lord? If you say, no, I do not, then there's not anything I can do to help you to grow. We all should be teachable. Yeah, I remember teaching on soul winning one time, and this person just sitting on the front row like this, like I couldn't teach them anything. And I thought to myself, you know what? You ain't going to grow in this matter. And I've been doing this for nearly, at that time, probably 30 years. I think I have a little bit of experience. I've led hundreds, and it's not thousands of people to Christ. Why wouldn't you listen? Because I know I've won many more people to the Lord than you ever have. We ought to be teachable. You know, for instance, this morning in Sunday school, you know, I heard that truth about that moon a couple weeks ago. Now, I never heard it before. I always believed it was a reflection of the sun. But God says he created two what? Great lights. One to rule the day, one to rule the night. And when I was shown that, I was like, man, you know what? If I had a rubber leg, I'd have kicked myself. Why didn't I not see that earlier? Crazy, isn't it? But because we're taught these things, our mind doesn't open up and see things as they truly are. And I was so grateful for that truth. Not that it revolutionized my life at all, but it did help me in my scriptural knowledge. And I wasn't going to shut my mind to that truth because I've been taught something different. We should be teachable. We should be willing to be taught. You know, some are just not willing to grow. Some are not wanting to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You ever notice in the church, certain people come to the altar all the time, right? That's a good thing, I think. You know why? Because somewhere along that sermon, they were challenged and they want to get right in that area. Some will never go forward. And I think for some, the reason is they want to give the impression they don't need what was preached. They are all that they are going to be. And I think that's sad. Because you know what? The rest of us aren't fooled. We know you're imperfect. We know you need some of that help. But you refuse to come to the altar and make any changes in your life. You know, this is the place where you make spiritual decisions. We all need to grow, and we all should have the desire to be more of what God would have us be. Now, if we are to grow, how about us obeying what we don't understand? Obeying what we don't understand. Now, the Bible tells us this in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine what? Heart. And lean not unto thine own what? Understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge what? Him. And he shall direct thy what? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know what that's all about? It's talking about we need to obey the Bible even if we don't quite understand it. Amen. These verses teach us to trust in the Lord and do what he says. We are not to lean on our own understanding. We are to lean on his. If he says do it, then what? Do it! And it will improve your health, both physically and no doubt spiritually. Why is it, listen carefully, that we trust doctors who prescribe some medication and we don't understand how it works? Do we? But we don't trust God enough to obey him when we don't understand what he's telling us to do. Now, doctors never make a mistake. I understand that. But since God is God, has he ever led any one of us astray? Is it not written in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9? For my thoughts are not what? Your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the what? Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So should we not trust the Lord and believe he knows what he's doing? If you want to grow, you're going to have to live by what you don't understand. And you know what that's called? There you go! Faith! In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are told, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, if our faith is to grow exceedingly, we must do what God said only based because he said to do it. That's all that we are supposed to do. For instance, this matter of tithing. Yeah, you can get all upset all you want to, you God robbers. But listen, I don't understand it. I do know the Bible says I'm supposed to give my first 10% of my income. And by the way, that's your gross income, not your net income. And we're supposed to give it to God at his house. That much I know. He says in Malachi 3:10. Now some of you need to grow in this area. It says, bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse. Storehouse is the local church you attend. That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith. Now this is, he's saying, you know what, prove me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now you're probably thinking, why would God want me to give the tithe? He owns everything. He owns the silver, he owns the gold in the hills, he owns the cattle on the hills, he owns the hill. Why in the world does he want me to give? That just doesn't make sense. That God wants 10%. You know, I'll have less than if I just keep that 100%. Now, to live off 90%, is a whole lot better living off that 100%. Because God has promised he will bring a curse to you. That's right. You know, some people, they always have financial difficulties, don't they? And then they can't figure it out. And it's like, Well, you've been robbing God all this time. He's going to get his tithe one way or another. And you know, if you want a blessing, you can just give it, or you can stay under the curse. That's on you. You say, well, that's just not good math. But when you factor in God and your obedience, your act of faith, you'll be far better off, for God promises his blessings upon you. I've been tithing since 1983. Now, that's a pretty long time. I still don't understand it. But this much I know, it works. I don't have to understand to obey. Yet when I do what God says, he blesses me and my faith doth grow. Just think, if we understood it all, if we understood it all, we'd be as smart as God, and we wouldn't need him anymore. And I would hate to see him lowered to the level of our intelligence. Some have ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge, and you are too impressed with the mind God gave you, and you want understanding before obedience, but it just doesn't work that way. In John chapter 7, verse 17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. God has given us everything we need to know right here in the Word of God. And whether we understand it or not, we are to trust what he said and we are to put it into practice. You know, here's one of the amazing things. I've been saved since 1983. I go out soul winning and I knock on somebody's door. I give them a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, they know everything they need to know to get saved. And you know how many people have told me? I can't recall, but plenty have told me, well, I'll do it when I get more understanding of it. Well, I've been saved for 43 years. I probably read the Bible through more than 100 times. I still don't get it. I still don't understand it all. I just know I'm saved. I just know the way of salvation. I don't know how it works. Listen. We are to just do what he told us to do, and we are to put it into practice, and then prove him. Now, if we are to grow as a believer, we must live by what we don't like. Some are not growing because you say, I don't understand it. Others are not growing because you don't like it. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 19. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now the man who penned down these words was the Apostle Paul. And you know what he's saying here? He's telling us there are times that he had to force himself to do spiritual things. Being spiritual and maturing in the faith does not come easy, because it's always a battle against our flesh. Paul often made himself do what he did not want to do, but it helped him grow spiritually because he did it. Too many believers remain immature because they operate in the flesh and by how they feel. They get up in the morning and they don't read their Bible and pray like they should because they don't feel like it. They busy themselves all day and then they're too tired to make it to night church. get in a bad mood, and so they don't feel like praising God who can turn around that bad mood. On Saturday morning, they got a host of other things that are so pressing, like cleaning the house. Even though they could do it all week long. But they don't make time to go forth with the gospel and share the good news with the lost. If we operated the same way on the job as we do with the things of the Lord, it wouldn't be long before we were all unemployed. We are all good at doing what we want to do, but when it comes to living by what we don't like or what we don't feel like doing, even if it's the right thing to do, we let the flesh decide and remain carnal. We need to get to the point where we do what is right because it's right to do, whether we like to or not. Listen, God in His Word is to dictate how we live and not our flesh, nor how we feel. Now, I'm not going to sing feelings this morning. I know you'll be disappointed. But it's time we crucify the flesh and we start living for the one who died to save us. We need to grow up. And as a pastor, I'm supposed to help you mature in the faith. You need to realize I'm not your enemy. I'm simply reminding you to live by faith, whether you understand it or not, and whether you feel like doing so. Even if you don't like it, you do it. Number three. Then you need to get in and stay in a church where you can grow. This is what the Bible teaches. In Acts chapter 12, verse 24, it says this, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Then in Acts 19, 20, we read, "So mightily grew the word of God." Now, it doesn't mean the word of God expanded and God was adding to the book of Revelation because he hadn't had a complete Bible yet. But what it does mean is the Word of God grew because of its influence. Why? Because the pastor and the people did not restrain the Word of God. They let it grow. And you know what they said to the preacher? "Come on! Give us the Word of God! Teach it! Preach it! We want all that God has for us. Fulfill your calling, preacher. Don't hesitate to reprove and rebuke with long suffering and doctrine. Love us enough to speak the truth to us." They were not sitting out there saying, "If he mentions that subject one more time, it hasn't set with me well back then, it ain't sitting with me well today. I'm going to be fed up. I'm leaving here and I'm going to a church where I don't have to hear that ever again." I've been told that, by the way. One guy says, "I'm tired of you preaching on this." I said, "Well, you know what? I'm probably tired of you not living it." Listen. We ought to listen and do even things that are not to our liking. They were not like this guy in the first church I pastored who told me that those in the church didn't like my kind of preaching. "We don't want to hear." Now, what I mentioned was wives being in subjection to their husbands. That was the very first time I mentioned it. And he said, "We don't want that kind of preaching here." And I looked at him and said, "Okay, I'll stop." Connie was there. She said, "You wuss. Man up, get a butt spine." No, that never happened. But it did happen that this guy told me, "We don't want that kind of preaching here." I looked at him picked up my Bible. I said, as long as it's between the covers of this leather, it's fair game. And I'm here to tell you, you aren't the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost, and you will not tell me what to preach. And I said, number two, tell your wife I don't care if she likes it or not. When the preacher preaches the Word of God to please the God of the Word and not some man in the pew, the church will grow spiritually. You know, one of the things I hear about the pulpit ministry from Faith Baptist Church, from visiting preachers, is this. They say, man, there's so much liberty behind your pulpit. And I think, and I say, well, it doesn't come by accident. It's because I preach the whole counsel of God. And nothing is off limits unless it doesn't line up with Scripture. This is our textbook. This is going to influence us for God and for good. It is our only source of faith and practice. And my job as a calling as a pastor is to perfect the saints, edify the body of Christ, and help all of us to grow spiritually. We must give everyone, however, a chance to grow. New believers, as well as those who have been saved for years. Some need to be taught. Others need to be reminded. But all of us have plenty of room for growth. You, nor I, nor anyone else, does not need to make some spiritual progress. Now, one can't grow in the Lord until they're born again. And maybe you're here this morning, you're not sure if you died this very moment that heaven would be your home. Your sins have not been forgiven you. Well, it's time to place your faith in the Savior. You will never see those gates of pearl, walk streets of gold, until you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian, let's keep growing. By obeying what we don't understand. Obeying what we don't like. And let's get in and stay in a church where the word is preached, taught, rightly divided, and we are exhorted to put our faith into practice. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.